Great. Well, good morning, everyone. We do thank you for being on the call this morning, and we have some exciting news. Leah could not be with us this morning, but it's because she is at the White House, so that's very, very exciting. She was most likely going to be having a follow-up call soon, so we'll go more into that. But before we get started, I want to make sure that we open in prayer. And just again, as a reminder for those that are on the call, if you could put the phone on mute, if all of us could put the phone on mute when we're not talking, that would be great, just to cut back on any kind of background noise. Good morning, Pam. Thank you for being on. I was just telling everyone I need to keep you in prayer.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I might have to stay muted. If you ask me a question, it'll take me a little while to unmute. Thank you for your service.
No problem.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for being on. Well, good. Well, Mike, would you open us in prayer, please?
Yes. Father, we just thank you for this time together. You are so great. You are magnificent. You are our Lord. You command the wind and the waves and the sea. And we just thank you, Father, that you are our Lord and our God. And we choose to be obedient to you, and we choose to be led by your Holy Spirit in our conversation today in this meeting, as well as all of our activity going forward. We just bless you, Lord God. We acknowledge you as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. You are mighty in the earth and in America. You are mighty, Lord God, with Leah right now in the White House. You are mighty, Lord Jesus, in everything we put our hands to do. We just thank you, God, for giving us the courage, the will, and the unction to do all that you want us to do in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We bless your holy name. For you are Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mike. Well, good. Welcome, everybody. We want to, again, thank our team for being on, as well as Ted Ballinger in Missouri, Mike Porter in Kentucky, Cindy in Michigan, Jenny in Iowa, Marlene in Tennessee, Pam in Florida, Pastor McIntosh in Connecticut. I know Abby's actually in D.C. and in meetings today, Abby in Pennsylvania. Betty is traveling. Dale said he had some meetings this morning. Good morning, Sharon. Thanks for being on. And Ryan, wonderful. Thank you for being on this morning. We are just getting started. So as I mentioned, we are excited that Leah is at the White House right now. As a matter of fact, she's meeting with some of the spiritual advisors and, of course, with the team at the White House, and they're discussing the possibility of a national call to prayer. So this is amazing. This is overwhelming. I think we can all agree that this is just a very, very exciting step. So if y'all can, remember to pray for Leah. She's in those meetings. We expect more details, being able to roll out some more details here in the future, but we do want to support, obviously, the president in whatever he needs as it relates to mobilizing prayer and a national call to prayer for America. So stay tuned for that. More to come on that soon. We want to make sure we stand again by him and are so grateful that he is not only standing for prayer, promoting prayer, but is welcoming prayer. So we'll have more on that soon. Also, good news, President Trump has nominated Governor Sam Brownback as Ambassador-at-Large for International Religious Freedom at the Department of State. So we'll be sending out a press release that Senator Lankford released today, and the more that we can get that out, the better. I'm just very excited about that news and expect that, that he will be an excellent person for that position. A couple other things. In God We Trust, as we all know, July 30th is the 61st anniversary of In God We Trust as our national motto. We realize that many people still do not know that. So the more that we can help get the word out and encourage people just to put up God or talk about our national motto or let people know that In God We Trust is our national motto, the better. And as you all received an email from Leah just a week or two ago, the Million Windows campaign was a tremendous success. The goal was 1 million decals, to have 1 million decals up throughout the nation, but we actually exceeded the goal, and there's nearly 3 million decals now displayed across America. So we thank you all for supporting that initiative and for doing what you can to help protect God's rightful place in America. This is going to impact everybody just slightly. The state pages will no longer have a Million Windows campaign button with a link to a state page for ordering decals. But decals can still, you know, any God We Trust products can still be purchased at the InGodWeTrust.com or the In God We Trust store. So even though the Million Windows campaign is over, the In God We Trust Put It Up initiative is still going strong. And again, you're all welcome to engage with that as much as possible. But we just wanted to let you know that the campaign is over and those buttons will be removed from the state page. But if you, again, anybody wants to purchase decals or participate, they can still do that at InGodWeTrust.com. Any questions on that? Or anything that I've mentioned so far? Okay, hopefully everybody had the opportunity to take advantage of that campaign. It really was a encouraging outcome there. A quick update on Project Blitz. As you all know, this is one of the latest projects that has developed since the election. We just realized that there was a very friendly environment in the nation and decided and determined that this was the time now to really have a concerted effort to advance religious freedom legislation throughout the states. And so thankfully, we have seen 31 bills and resolutions pass in 17 states. And again, we haven't been directly involved with all of that, but we've definitely been praying for them as well as partnering with many legislators in the states to help provide support for their bills. So again, because this is so new, the more that y'all can remind your legislators that we now have this ability to mobilize, the better. So again, we're partnered with approximately 40 national organizations. So if a legislator is sponsoring or introducing a religious freedom bill, then we can, if they want, contact the national partners and encourage them to send out to their state databases information on this bill and whatever that action item may be. So it could be call a legislator, it could be show up at a rally, it could be testify at a hearing. We would just need to know from the legislator what the bill is and what exactly they want done, and we will mobilize. It has been effective in numerous states. And again, just the overall outcome is incredible considering there was 5 bills last year that passed in 2016 in the nation and 6 in 2015. So the fact that there was 31 bills and resolutions that were pro-religious freedom is pretty incredible. We're thankful for that. And this is going to be an ongoing effort. So the more that we can, again, remind our legislators that that's something that we can help them with, the better. Also, our legal team, I just want to reiterate that we have this incredible legal team now, and you'll be meeting one of the newest, one of our newest partners or team members probably next month. Sharina Arrington is her name. But we have this team of religious liberty experts that are willing to help and support the legislators as well as victims in the state pro bono. So everything that they're doing is completely pro bono. They will provide expert witnesses if needed. They will help draft and vet legislation. They will provide legal counsel and possibly defense, all pro bono. They'll write weighty letters, which many of you have experienced as we've had to, we've identified maybe Freedom From Religion Foundation has contacted somebody about taking down a cross or what have you. So we've worked with many of you and your state legislative prayer caucuses to provide letters for them to send, and then we send a letter as well. We found that that's had a great impact. It's provided a lot of encouragement for victims and the legislators. They really like being able to do something more. So, again, this legal team is here. They're willing, they're able, they're excited. And the more that we can, again, let our legislators know that this is an option for them, the better. And the last thing I want to mention is pray you with faith. I know many of you are partnering with members of Congress and your state chairman and going into the churches and doing Pray You With Faith events, and there's been some challenges with getting people to either sign up or fill out the card. So we have now a texting option. So now you can say, if you want more information, text this number, and they will automatically be added to your state database, and so you can start communicating with them. So we're excited about that. Jess is going to, if you're interested in having that set up, Jess will, you'll want to reach out to Jess on that, and she'll get that set up for you. I know she's in process on a couple of states already. But if any of y'all would like to take advantage of that, Jeff would be happy to do that. Very exciting. We're excited to be able to offer that. So any questions on anything that I've mentioned so far? All right. Well, Angie is going to give a quick update on the Legacy Board effort.
Yes, hi everybody. Give a quick apology in advance for my voice. I'm having a pretty significant allergy attack this morning, but I did want to take a quick opportunity to tell you about what's happening with our Legacy Board. You may recall that Congressman Randy Forbes recently mentioned our new endeavor to form a Legacy Board at the Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation, and this Legacy Board is comprised exclusively of former members of Congress and former state legislators. And we are very excited that this is moving forward, and we now have several of these key leaders who are enthusiastically jumping on board with us. And as this continues to solidify and grow, the Legacy Board will expand our reach and our opportunities to provide you with more extensive resources and support. It's going to be just some really new and exciting new avenues to provide backup to you all in the state. So it's happening. It's moving forward. We're very excited. And we really look forward to giving you a more comprehensive, detailed report on what's happening and what's formulating at next month's phone call.
Excellent. I just want to give everyone an opportunity to ask any questions on that, if you have any questions.
Summer, this is Mike.
Yes.
Can we get an idea of anybody that's being contacted for that position, so in our states?
Sure. We started with a list of members of Congress primarily from all across the country that were primarily people who had either been former members of the Congressional Prayer Caucus when they were in office or people that Congressman Forbes had relationships with who he knew that their faith and prayer and religious freedom were a priority for them. And that really started as our primary source, as well as relationships that we've had with folks at the state level who've had some level of engagement with us in the past when they were in office. So it's not really it's not a very limited list as far as it's been primarily based on engagement in the past in the circles that we consider our lane. Happy to talk to you if you have questions, you know, maybe offline about people who you think should be invited. We could definitely take a look at it and very excited to continue to extend this. I think we've so far extended invitations to about 50 or so people across the country, and the engagement, of course, is very exciting, and it's happening pretty quickly. Many people are still working on getting back to us because they're on vacation. They've indicated that they've received the information and they're excited to look through and are going to be getting back to us very soon with their commitment. So we're pretty excited. Does that help?
Yeah, well, that helps a little bit. It's general. I was specifically thinking of this is probably offline about Kentucky. I'm just curious. I got the note that Randy was looking for several people in Kentucky, and there was maybe a couple of others that I want to make sure they're included, but I don't know. We can talk offline.
And actually, you bring up a very good point that I would love to reach out to everyone. There are quite a few former legislators at both the state and congressional level that we would like to extend the invitation to who we are still working on tracking down contact information now that they've, you know, transitioned into private life. And I would very much like to reach out to you, you know, on a one-on-one basis so that we don't you know, have this conversation could go on for a really long time because we're so excited about the the scope of opportunities with this, but I would love to touch base with you again afterward, and we can talk about the specifics of who in Kentucky we're reaching out to, and absolutely if there are additional folks that that maybe aren't on our radar that you could help us with, that would be fantastic.
Thanks.
Yeah, we know one of the very first that responded was Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, so we're excited about that. He's obviously our honorary chairman, but one of the first to sign up for our Legacy Board, so that's very exciting. And, again, some other former members of Congress responded right away, and so good stuff. Very excited about that. Thanks, Angie. Great. Well, I wanted to get some time. We can go. I know a lot of you are doing a number of efforts and events and things. I want to make sure that everybody has a chance to share, and then maybe we could even, depending on the time that's left, talk about some of the strategies or get into the weeds, if you will, about how some of you are doing what you're doing for those that are newer. But let's first of all just, I want to turn it over to you all. For, again, the new state directors, this is the time where we take 2 to 3 minutes to give an update on efforts and then in the state as it relates to religious freedom. And then we just, you know, again, want to, you feel free to share any attacks on faith, anything that we need to be aware of, efforts, successful passes of legislation, or any upcoming events that we can be praying for or supporting on some level. I do want to just take a second to, let's see, actually, Mike, do you want to, I know that you guys are kind of on, do you want to take a minute just to give an update on, I know you recently had an event there with the governor as it relates to the Bible curriculum.
Well,
do you want to just quick?
I think what you're talking about, yes, last month we had a ceremonial signing of the biblical literacy law. I think it was House Bill 128 for here in Kentucky, and it was passed overwhelmingly both in the House and the Senate to basically require the Department of Education to develop a curriculum which would be for biblical literacy, which means knowledge, narratives in the Bible, characters in the Bible, themes in the Bible, that and the Bible itself, that and its impact on modern culture today. That could be a very positive thing. We're looking forward to it, and I'm personally very interested in seeing it implemented. And you and I, Summer, talked about that last week, and I'm still looking into that. I see now where it's the Department of Education thing, but I believe there are many local superintendents who really want to go this direction. I'm hoping to find that. So we're going to be reaching out to various locations and see if we can find out where this is actually going to happen. But it was a wonderful event. A lot of people showed up, good people that we've seen before, opportunity to see legislators that showed up during the summer. It is an off session for us right now. So it's just good to have an opportunity to get over there and see people in action. And that was a good event. Look forward to it.
Thanks, Mike. So it's incredible that you're not only promoting what has just been passed, but you're actually trying to help with the implementation process. So I know we did have some conversation around your thoughts and ideas and ways that we can help support you in that, and look forward to doing that more in the future. But I know you're talking about putting a packet together. There would be a letter,
yep,
and even the foundation potentially putting a letter in there, again, just supporting,
yep,
the constitutionality of this law and so forth, but trying to target those people of influence to actually be able to help do something about this law that has just been passed. So that is,
yes,
incredible and encouraging, and we look forward to helping in any way that we can on that.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
Very good. Well, let's see. How about Pam? I know you may just have a window of time. Do you want to take a minute to give an update? Do you
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
This is a good time because otherwise it's a little crazy here in a minute. It's actually been interesting with the legal letters that the lawyers, y'all's lawyers, have been writing with all the different attacks on religious freedom cases here in Florida. I think we've had 4 or 5 just in the last couple of months. And the interesting thing with the last one that came to our attention with the city commissioner who read a Bible scripture during, you know, before the city hall thing or something, and the Freedom From Religion went after him. The interesting thing to me about that is that the state representative of that city commissioner's district contacted Mel Ponders, our state chair of the Florida Legislators Per Caucus, and asked if they could step in and write a letter. So, and the interesting thing about that is that now the legislators are beginning to realize their strength in these letters, their strength in the prayer caucus. And I was fascinated by the member that asked for help because I thought, wow, yeah, I don't think he's been in any of the prayer meetings yet. But the word is getting out that we will fight for religious freedom and that the legislators will stand and they will come together. And because of the legal work that you guys are doing, it's massive here, and it's beginning to have a buzz. So with the legislators now saying, wow, we can do something. And so that to me is huge. And so that's what's happening now. And so this last letter, they're trying to get everything finished with it. But thank you guys for the legal help that you're doing, because the legislators are totally taking notice, and it's making a difference. So that's my report, and the fact that once things start rolling and legislators really get on board with writing the letters that you guys are sending and getting it done, it's, like I said, all of a sudden there's strength to fight.
Thank you, Pam. And I just have to share what you shared with me just offline and very humbly, but showing the power of one. So Pam was... Or actually, basically, there was a situation where they were trying to ensure that the chaplains did not pray in Jesus' name, and nobody would take a stand. And this, Pam, please tell the story. I know you don't want to yourself, but
it was a government official who, in the chaplaincy for the prisons, decided to call all the prison chaplains together, telling them that they couldn't pray in Jesus' name anymore, that they needed to just not do that because it was causing offense and blah, 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 blah. Well, one of the chaplains called me and said, this is what happened. What do we do? And so I basically went to the government official and said, you said this. This isn't right. This isn't true. This isn't what the Constitution says. You're out of line. And if you don't handle this internally now and make this right, I will go public and we will fight the fight. And this is not good, so fix it. And they said, we didn't really say that. And they did. And anyway, short story, we're standing up and declaring, if you don't fix this now quickly and get it done, it'll be a public problem for the government doing the wrong thing. And they immediately, within like 5 days, they had that thing shifted. They called the chaplains again, told them they could pray in Jesus' name, and it just shifted. And it was one of those things, if you stand up and if you know your government leaders, and you call them and say, I wanted to give you a chance to fix this now, but if you don't, I'm going to go public, and you're on my side. I mean, these were leaders that shouldn't have done it, but somebody doesn't understand, just like in the school system or anything else. They think they know what the law is, and they have no clue. And so they somehow think the name of Jesus is an establishment of religion, and we're supposed to educate them. So I educated them real quick. They got it fixed, and thank God it never went beyond. It never went public, and that was a massive win because it stopped a huge issue, and the chaplains all started calling me and thanking me because they could still do their job right and well and not be muzzled.
I love it. I just am so grateful. I think Pam's just an excellent example of knowing our rights and being fearless, willing to stand no matter the cost when nobody else will. So thank you, Pam, for your continued efforts in the state. I know it's been 20-something years of praying for government officials, standing strong, and you're seeing the fruit of it. So just wanted to thank you for that and honor you for that. And, again, just to remind everyone, the power of one really can make a tremendous difference.
Well, thank you. I'm praying for you.
And we are praying, well, again, just to remind everybody that we want to be sure to pray for Pam and her family, as her brother-in-law passed away yesterday. So we want to make sure to keep her in prayer and her family in prayer.
Thank you.
Ryan, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to share. And if you would even share not only of how you know, some of the things that you're doing and the positive impact, but how you did it. Because I, you know, many of the members of you're connecting the members of the Congressional Prayer Caucus, the members of Congress, with the state legislators through Pray USA events in the churches, and it's having a tremendous impact. So if you would maybe just share what, you know, what y'all are doing, and then how you actually open the door to the members of Congress. I know it seems pretty easy, but for those that maybe just need a reminder of how easy it is, would you please share?
Sure. Can you guys hear me? Can you hear me?
Can hear you great. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sorry, because I'm on the road and there's a little bit of road noise here, so I just want to make sure if I need to turn on my phone. So basically, yeah, I mean, our real purpose and goal since we've been out of session has been to mobilize the church and also pretty much to just duplicate the Pray USA strategy by engaging and forming church to prayer and action. And so over the last 3 months, we have been, the Legislative Prayer Caucus co-chair, Delegate Brenda Pogge, and I have gone into 3 or 4 churches on Sunday mornings, and so we've used the relationships that we have pretty much in the Williamsburg area for those meetings. And we've been going in, and Delegate Pogge will go first for 15 minutes, then we show the 3-minute congressional call to prayer, and then the last 15 minutes or so, I share and I kind of follow up and really bring it home as far as engaging the church into the place of prayer and action. And then at the end, we have in the foyer, we haven't done the signing of the document as far as the call to prayer. What we've encouraged churches to do is to literally take action by starting prayer groups. And so really, in a sense, kind of taking it another step and asking the churches and the pastors particularly, and even beforehand, I've told them that this is what I want to do, and they've been in agreement, that will you take up the mantle to start at least one prayer group for 1 hour praying for, in accordance with 1 Timothy 2:1, praying for your elected officials and those in authority, our government. And so I call them into that place, and then the pastor will come forward, and then together he'll make his appeal to the congregation. Like this last Sunday, we did it with Congressman Rob Whitman from the 1st Congressional District, and he came forward and called the church to stand in solidarity, you know, showing that he's in full agreement with what we're calling his church to do. And then he called the elders down to pray for Congressman Whitman, Delegate Pogge, and so we got to lay hands on them. And then afterwards, in the foyer, we have the sign-ups for the network. And we probably got 60 to 70 this week, which was a really good response. It was probably about, this is probably there's 2 services, but probably about 200 to 300 people. But tremendous response, tremendous engagement of the church, and a real, I believe, which will be fruitful, real commitment to pray and take action. And I'm also encouraging them to vote, of course, too, at the end, calling them to get informed, to get to know their legislators, to pray, and with intentionally setting aside 1 hour a week, even if it's in their home, but ideally in their church, and to have a prayer meeting, and then to register and vote for those that have their biblical and Christian values. So that's what we've been doing. As far as how we've done it, it's been really easy, obviously, with our co-chair, with Delegate Pogge. And, you know, it's a win-win for the politicians. Not only is it, you know, they're good Christians and they want to see the church engaged in praying, but it also, you know, there's tremendous value for them to engage their base, you know, on their turf, and for them to get to know them. You know, they share a little bit of their testimony. Delegate Pogge, she shares about her involvement in the Congressional Prayer Caucus, Virginia Prayer Caucus. Congressman Whitman is a part of the Congressional Prayer Caucus, so he shares that. So it's really awesome for the church to see that, you know, and if those of you guys have been involved in Pray USA events, you know, the power that are in those meetings. As far as the congressmen, basically I just went up to Washington. Well, I was up there for the Washington on the Wall conference, the FRC, Family Research Council, Washington on the Wall conference, and I just set up meetings with their offices to meet with them for about 30 minutes. And I'd already met Congressman Whitman a couple times before, but I also had a meeting with Dave Brat. In fact, I'm on the way right now to Dave Brat's office in Glen Allen, Virginia. We're going to be talking about ways that we can mobilize in his district, which is the 7th Congressional District. But I met with him in Washington, and just even before we met, they asked for a paragraph about why I wanted the meeting. And so I explained, you know, the Congressional Prayer Caucus, and they, you know, obviously the congressman knew about it. But I also explained what we were doing in the state and the desire to want to mobilize with like-hearted elected officials in the state to engage the church, mobilize the church for prayer and action. So it's kind of a no-brainer. I think if you lay it out there, for those that are Christian congressmen, delegates, particularly the congressmen, you might forget those guys because we're focused on the state. But I think it's really energizing for the church to hear from the congressmen in their district. And so we had relationships in the first district. That's actually where I pastor, so that was pretty easy. But we also have, you know, growing relationships all over the state. So it's the Richmond area, the 7th district. So that's what we did. I met with them, laid it out. And both of them, even before I asked, they and I think this is just the favor of God and just, you know, God had set it up that before I even asked, they said, oh, we would love to get into churches. I told them what we were doing with Delegate Pogge. In churches, and they said, we would love to come in and be a part of this and what God's doing in the district and in the state. So we just did one this last Sunday. It was really good. We're going to do two in October with Representative Whitman, and Brenda, I think, is going to be a part of those as well, Delegate Pogge. And then now I'm going today to talk with, in more detail, with Congressman Brat, well, his office assistants, and trying to nail down some dates. But it's been really fruitful, and I think it's really healthy. And so what we're doing, too, the three places, we're just going throughout the district. So we're going in the first district. We have Williamsburg. We're going to Fredericksburg. We're going to go to another place called Montrose. So just trying to almost, you know, hit strategic areas within the district, because I have a limited amount of time. They have a limited amount of time. So we're trying to really try to gather in strategic places in the district that makes sense. So I know that's a lot, but that's in a nutshell. And Summer, I wanted to tell you, too, as far as the texting option for signing up, I think that's awesome. We went back to just a very simple sign-up sheet after I talked to you about the card not seeming to being somewhat confusing to some people, it seemed like. And I think we got a lot more response just with a simple sign-up sheet with name, address, phone, email, everything. So, anyways, just a little feedback on that. But I think the texting option will be fantastic, too.
Very good. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you for your efforts. I was in a conversation with somebody last night in Texas, and she said, I have no idea. I had no idea that any of this was happening. Why aren't we hearing about the positive things that government leaders are doing and how we can engage and so forth? So you're doing exactly what people want. It's just a matter of, you know, I know it's challenging to make the time, but we thank you for making the time. We thank all of you for making the time and for putting forth the effort, because people really are encouraged and inspired not only to hear about the prayer caucus and what their efforts are, but to meet the individuals so that they can be praying for them and know who they're rallying around when they're called to mobilize. So it's the perfect opportunity to build the network, build the network of support, of prayer and action, just like you said perfectly, Ryan. So thank you on that. I appreciate, again, all your efforts and pray blessings on your meeting with Congressman Brat. I just can't, I know we're hoping that in the future Religious Freedom Summit, the National Lift America, we've changed the name slightly, Please, with the Religious Freedom Summit will be an opportunity also for y'all to connect with the members more. But if y'all can have the opportunity to go up and meet them and connect with them, or if they're in their district, to meet them and connect with them, they want to connect. They want to engage. They want to hear what's happening, and they want to join in support of y'all. So just thank you again for that. Let's see. Marlene, would you mind giving an update? I know you've been faithfully, continually reaching out to Representative Pody and mobilizing prayer in the Capitol for years. I can't tell you, I've told you many times in person how, or many times over the phone, how I meet people, and they cannot say enough about how faithfully you've been there in the state for years and years. So we're just grateful for you continuing to advance prayer and specifically around these legislators, as well as Freddie was saying. And I know you recently had a meeting with Representative Pody and several members of the legislature, and Leah was able to jump on in with that. Would you just give an update on how that went and kind of the outcome of that and how you got the legislators to really buy in, you know, to realize the value in these, in this event?
Yes. Thank you, Summer. And I'm assuming everyone can hear me on muted phone. I'm always a little bit unsure whether it works or not. Can you hear me, Summer?
Yes, I can hear you great. Mm-hmm.
Well, how we got the legislators to buy into it, I really think that Leah being on the call is always beneficial. And it's kind of like it's just gaining momentum. Once legislators hear about it and they recognize that, oh, everything's kind of already there for me to do, it's not like they have to figure out. And even on the call, several legislators communicated to us, oh, it sounds like, you know, all the resources are already there, so just make sure that I get everything and have it in hand on the Sunday that we choose to do this. So, and even just, you know, this morning I've got more interested people because I've been putting it out on other networks too, and what we're finding is there are citizens who want to go to their pastors and say, can we do this? And then they, in turn, go and invite the legislator in their district. So, to me, that always works very well too, simply because we know that most legislators, most governmental leaders, always want to take that invitation to speak in a church or anywhere else, if you will. Certainly those that are going to be in favor and show interest in this. So, you know, we're just at kind of the beginning stages where it is gaining momentum, and, I mean, I'm excited about it. Our chair, Representative Pody, seems to be very excited about it. So, if anyone has any, you know, I was interested in what Jason had said just about how they changed it up a bit and had then the churches to start prayer groups. That's a really great idea. So I'm excited about it. I think that I kind of see it as something that will pick up momentum as it continues. And I know even our chair said that maybe after session what we're trying to do is to get the legislators to be willing to do three churches sometime between August and the 1st of December. Didn't figure that, you know, the holidays and session would probably work that well for them. So then after session, I think that they may try to pick it up again. So, you know, it'll be really interesting to see how it goes. And, I mean, obviously I have people praying, so I'm believing that the wind of God's going to blow on this, and it's going to gain momentum. And in the process, we're going to get some more people on board. And I'm really excited about the text, too. So just make sure that Jessica is setting up that for Tennessee, Summer, or I can email her as well.
Yes, absolutely. We'll make sure. And, again, I just want to reiterate to you and to anyone else that wants to do these, we're happy to help coordinate. So even if you wanted to, because we know you would have a lot going on. So if you need us, we're here. If you want us to contact the churches and, you know, get an agenda, we can help with the coordination, with sending proclamations, with doing this agenda and script. We can do a number of things. So just let us know, Marlene and anybody else, and we'll also follow up on the texting option right away.
Okay.
Thank
thanks,
you, Marlene.
Summer.
Great. Delbra is in the Capitol right now. She wasn't able to join. They started a special session, and so she's been going into the Capitol faithfully, and has, in doing so, she's been meeting more and more legislators. They've invited her to join in prayer. Senator McCann, she's still meeting with Senator McCann, but she's finding other ways in which she can help and encourage other legislators that are praying in the Capitol. So she's there right now. I wanted to just mention something that she shared recently. A city council passed an ordinance to put In God We Trust on all city buildings, including the welcome sign of the city. So they're going to be getting displays made from private donations. And they're actually going to be having some type of a reception or ceremony, which either probably Congressman Forbes or Leah will be going to, and they're very excited about. But again, just wanted to mention that they've not only has the city,
they had another big, I need to look back at my notes, I apologize, but it basically was another, at a more of a local level, excitement around In God We Trust, and they put permanent, In God We Trust permanent on the buildings, and it all actually started because Freedom From Religion Foundation contacted this board member about the unconstitutionality of putting up In God We Trust. So the board member double contacted us. We sent a letter. The board member stood strong, not only stood strong, but put up a permanent fixture on the building, which was really encouraging. And so now the city council is passing an ordinance to put In God We Trust on all city buildings. So I just wanted to, again, mention how cool that is, and excited to that the CPCF will be able to support their efforts on some front. But Delbra is excited about some of the progress being made there. Also in Ohio, Jason Williams is going strong. He's connected with the members of Congress, Congressman Jordan, actually, and then some of the other pastors in the city and state, and they've been doing what they call In God We Trust of it. So they're talking about, they're going into churches, they're talking about the prayer caucus, they're talking about In God We Trust specifically, and calling people to prayer. So they're kind of, you know, morphing things slightly as well, but they're finding that that's having a tremendous impact. So just another way of supporting and encouraging people in their communities to join together, to put God back into the national conversation, and to pray unceasingly for our leaders and for our nation. I know there's several others on the call. I want to make sure everybody has an opportunity to share that wants to. Is there anyone else that wants to give an update? I know I'll just stop right there. Anybody else want to give an update?
It's Cindy. I'd like to just share two cases that are published, I think, as of this morning. And one of them, I want to share it because it's a twist on religious freedoms. We have recently had an FGM, which is a female genital mutilation case, take place, and the state's prosecuting parents who took their children, these are Muslim families, to have a female genital mutilation, or FGM. So when that was, you know, we have a doctor that did over 100 procedures, blah, 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 and so the case, they're being prosecuted. And this is going to be the first time that the U.S. is going to is pursuing a case of female genital mutilation, where the courts are going to weigh in on a religious minority's rights against federal government's interest protecting children. So they're the defendants, the Muslims, are going to be using religious freedoms, their religious freedom, as a way to protect them and being able to continue to do this in the nation. So I just felt that might be significant to mention, and I look forward to hearing any comments, even if that's in the future, summer, from you guys. But that's going to go around the nation pretty fast. The second one is, and Leah, this is the Bournemouth versus, oh, no, not the county. we have three cases, and one of them that I almost just spoke about was the Jackson County, where a case went to the district court of appeals. Sorry, went to the court of appeals, and the case was about the government, city council opening up and praying and using the name of Jesus, and so they were being pursued to stop doing that. And the Court of Appeals already tried the case and did that like in the middle of June, but the results have not come out. I can't find anything. So the third case, someone will remember that there is a couple who were selling their farm products at the East Lansing farmers market, and they were approached this couple, in addition, does weddings, so I should put that in there too. They were approached by a gay couple to perform a wedding for them, and they declined to host them or, you know, to do anything. So they were sued, and they've gone through some trials in that. I think everybody knows the directions that it usually takes. And so now there's another case where they're being sued for what they do on their farm, which is a little different twist too. So the couple are not allowed to sell at the local farmers market. The farmers market is changing their contracts to read that they're going to have to uphold general marketing practices, which is their way of trying to put in that you're going to have to provide services for same-sex couples, and they're trying to get around the language of religious freedom. So the couple is now being pursued because they've also performed weddings or hosted them on their farm. And they recently publicly said, guys, we're going to go ahead and open this up again. They needed to go through whatever court cases and whatever the court case was for them against them in the farmer's market, but now that couple's going after them on their land. So that was it. I just felt that might be important to bring up that FGM case, and took liberty to update the others. And that's it.
Thank you, Cindy. Yes, I think we're all watching the judicial system, and we've been praying. I know most of you are on Tuesdays, and we've been praying about that a lot. I think we all understand the importance of staying engaged as it relates to these cases, especially as we saw that Rowan County case ruling come down a week or so ago. More to come on that, by the way, and we're also trusting that Michigan legislative prayer case, the Jackson County case, will be have a different outcome. But the more that we can be focusing on those cases and the judicial system as a whole in prayer, the better. Thank you, Cindy. Excellent. Okay, anybody else? I know there's a couple others that have not had a chance to share yet. I thought I'd just give an opportunity. Okay, well, there's a lot of other activity going on. We're very close to forming a couple more prayer caucuses, so we're excited about that. We're just waiting for the charters to come in. We're still looking for state directors in Arkansas. We're going to need one in Arizona. We have a couple options in Georgia. We still need one in Washington. If you all have any potential state directors that you'd like to refer in those states, please let me know, because we'd love to get those people lined up and prepared so that they can start strong. Other than that, again, there's just a lot of exciting activity in the states at the national level, and we'll have more to come on this national call to prayer, hopefully in the next couple of days even. So we'll keep you posted on that. Angie, Jess, anything that I missed or that you want to touch base on?
I don't have anything.
Okay.
Yep, I don't either.
Okay. Well, Ted, would you mind closing us out in prayer and pray for Pam and, anything else that's on your heart? Would you mind just closing us out?
Sure. Father, we just come to you today. You're an awesome God. Father, we just thank you for all that you do for us. And Father, we thank you for all the good reports that we're hearing today from all the state directors, Father. Thank you for placing each and every one of them at this time to do the work that you would have them do. Thank you, Father, for giving each one of them wisdom and knowledge and understanding, Father. Thank you, Father, that you protect them, that you send your angels charge over them each and every day, wherever they go and wherever they come. Thank you, Father, that they can come to you. And, Father, your word says that you will hear our prayers. And we thank you. And, Father, we do thank you for the members that cannot be on this phone call today. Wherever they're at or whatever they're doing, Father, we ask that you bless them, prosper them, and protect them. Give them strength. Give them courage, Father. Father, give all of us courage. As we heard today, we need courage to stand up and to be noted and to be listened to. Because we have power, and that power comes from you. We thank you, and we praise you. Now, Father, be with those that are having sickness. And Father, we just for any of those that have been sick or are sick, Father, having any kind of health problems, we just lay hands on them here through the phone lines, Father, and we declare that by His stripes they are healed. We thank you, Father, for going ahead of us and fighting our battles and being behind us, watching our backs, Father. We praise you. Now, thank you for this time that you've given us. Thank you for being able to meet like this and to hear encouraging things, which encourages us all. Now, Father, as we step out today and do whatever we're planning on doing or have to do, we just ask that you be with us and guide us and direct us. And we just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ted. Thank you all for being on. We'll have more to come. And again, just appreciate y'all very, very much. God bless you.
God bless you. Goodbye.
Bye, guys.
Thank you, Summer. Bye.
Thank you, Bye. Summer.